Let's pray over the word before we go into our message this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you, and we just believe right now that we receive receptive hearts and open minds to receive your word so that we are changed into your image, from image to image and glory to glory, faith to faith. We declare that we are open and receptive in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I've had a message similar to this before, but since we've already talked about being repetitious, and it's not exactly the same as I've presented it before, and it's been a while, I used to have this message called Silly String. I don't know, did I ever share that one here, Silly String? All the little thoughts that run through your head. You know the Silly String? You know, you use it at birthdays and stuff like that, and you spray it all over, and it gets all over everything, and you're pulling it out of your hair and your clothes and out from behind the curtains, like the snowballs from the snowball fight. After we went through and had found all the snowballs, there were still several that we found later. But this is I got this kind of like inspiration. Have you ever been watching TV, and you're looking at the TV, and you're thinking to yourself, why am I watching this? Right? What do? You change the channel, and you find something else to watch. This is our message today, is change the channel. What are you watching? What are you looking at? If you don't like the show that's on TV, you simply press the button and change it. Maybe it's just not your thing. You change the channel. You know, Kathy always, before she turns off the TV, she always puts it on the cooking channel. That way when it comes on, the TV comes on, it's something vanilla. You know, nothing's going to be on that you're going to have been watching, you know, like, you know, NCIS or a crime drama, and it comes on and the kids are like, oh my gosh, you know, you don't want, you know, because we've got to be careful about what we watch. Had a conversation with somebody once, and I was concerned about this movie that was coming out because there was supposed to be some sort of a scene that was inappropriate for children in a children's movie. And this person got really offended that I would think that seeing something could affect how your child thinks about themselves or perceives the world. You know, because it is what you see. Many people refer to our eyes as the eye gates, the ears as the ear gates. What you see and what you hear. I remember as a child in children's church, the little song, "Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Lord up above." I don't remember how the rest of it goes, but it sounds like everybody else has heard the song. But it is true. What we see and what we hear does impact us greatly. Doesn't it? I mean, you can hear one side of a story and you think, wow, that person's right. And then you hear the other side of the story, like, wow, that person's right. Can both be right? Absolutely. A lot of things are perception, aren't they? But if we're watching something in our mind, maybe we've had a report on something. Maybe you've seen the news, and you see something happen on the news, like the Las Vegas shooting. Now all of a sudden, maybe you're afraid to go out. I remember when they had the shooting in that theater in Colorado. I said, I am never going into a movie theater again. What happened to me? I had an image in my mind of going to a movie theater and being shot up. I responded to that thought, and it became something that started to dwell in me. I go to movie theaters now. Why? Because I changed the channel. I changed my perception on what I was thinking. 3 John chapter 2 says, God tells us that he desires that us, our soul, which is our mind, will, and intellect, grows, and that we would prosper and be in health. So what this says, dearly beloved, I pray that you would prosper, that even as your soul prospers, you would prosper and be in health. So what does that mean? As our soul, our will, our mind, our intellect, as we continue to grow, right, that we're going to prosper. Why are we going to prosper? Because we're growing. Our mind is becoming in tune with the things of God. When we put away the things of the world, when we put away fear, when we put away distractions, when we put away you'll never be good enough, put that away. Jesus says that you are wonderfully and beautifully made. Did you know that? The Word of God says you're beautifully and wonderfully made. That's Kathy's favorite scripture. It's from Psalm 139. It's her favorite. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Beautifully made. She says, there's nothing wrong with me. I'm perfectly made in the image of God. Well, that's true as we continue to grow in Him. When we first came to Him, was anybody perfect? No, but we're intended. The intention for every believer is that we should grow, that we should grow in the things of God, that we should grow in understanding, that we should grow in wisdom, that we should grow and become more like Him. Several times we read in Scripture, it says that we're to be going from glory to glory, image to image, faith to faith, even as in the presence of the Lord. How can we always be in the presence of the Lord? With His Word. He said He and His Word are one. So if we have His Word in us, then we're becoming more like Him. We're expected to grow. God expects us to grow. In Genesis 1, God looked, and you can read this in Genesis 1 and 2, and it says that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. He looked at it and said, dear me, what a mess I've made. No. He looked at it and said, let there be light. He had an image. You can see one thing. It was without form and void. So he decides he's going to call it light. And he speaks light into the situation. He's changing the actual physical representation of what is there. He continues to do so throughout Genesis 1 by creating the sun and the moon and the stars, and he creates the earth is there, and he separates the water from the land, and he creates everything that's living by his words. He speaks those things into existence. He takes something that was without form and void and creates life in it. In the same way, we can do that. Everybody close your eyes. Everybody close your eyes. I'm going to say the word dog. How many people just saw at least one kind of dog? Raise your hands. Did any of you just see the word dog? No, because when I say dog, you're probably thinking of your dog or the favorite dog that you used to have, right? When God speaks a word, it's not just a word, but there's an image and life that are in that word. That word is a seed that produces life after its own kind. So when he speaks, he's not saying just fish, but in that, he sees every kind of fish, Alaskan pollock, salmon, king salmon, trout. He's seeing cod. He's seeing every kind of fish, right? When he sees bird, he doesn't just see the little brown bird. He sees the whole variety of birds. And when he says it, those varieties come to life. He speaks life to it. In the same way, we're to speak life into our minds. When we don't like what we see in our minds, it's time for us to change it. After we lost our first baby, the doctor said, well, your wife told Kathy, you have pregnancy-induced hypertension. This is always going to be what's going to happen. That was the image they gave us. What did Kathy say? She said, no way. She said, I'm going to have children. God promised me children. I'm going to have children. After Faith was born, and she was born at 25 weeks, and she weighed 13 ounces, they sat us in a room with a whole bunch of really experienced doctors and told us all the bad things that could happen. Infections, brain bleeds. I'm telling you what, they set you up for a really bad image in your mind and in your heart. They don't set you up to have faith for your child. When the doctor gives you a bad diagnosis, he's not going to set you up for faith to believe for healing. He's going to set you up for chemo. He's going to set you up for blood transfusions. He's going to set you up, this is how it's going to progress. This is what it's going to be like. Or you can look at it and you can say, no, I'm going to choose what the Word of God says about me. He says He's my healer. He says He's my deliverer. I don't have to put up with this. You know what God did? He gave us visions of children. He gave us an image of a little boy. Kathy saw him with brown hair and blue eyes and olive skin. Sound like anybody you know? Doesn't it? He told me, I'm driving in my car. I'm not going to stop and sing right now. You, some of you might know. Driving in my car. Anyway, I'm driving in my car. I can't help myself, you know. I was driving in the car, and the Lord spoke to me. I was just driving, and I had on some worship music, and I'm praying in tongues, and the Lord says to me, you're going to have a son. Name him Josiah. So when we got pregnant a couple years later, and then we lost the baby, a lady said to me, I'm so sorry about Josiah. I said, that wasn't Josiah. God does not give dead dreams. Who's keeping the image changed in their mind? I am. It's my responsibility. It's like we tell our kids all the time. You have a choice. You can react this way or you can respond this way. Because reacting is just, anybody can react. Somebody cuts you off. You react. Yeah. Or you can respond, which is a choice that you make. Reacting is easy. Anybody can react in the natural. Anybody can react in the flesh, but we have to choose how we're going to respond. When we lost that third little boy, our third baby, we didn't have a hard time. We weren't moping and in chaos and trying to figure out what was going on because we knew that God had promised us a son and to name him Josiah. So what did we do? We named that one Daniel. He wasn't Josiah. We're keeping the image and the dream alive inside of our minds. If the doctor tells you you're going to die, don't play out your funeral. Don't start picturing an image of yourself lying in a pink dress in a coffin for everybody to come by and pay their respects to. Don't do that. That's not the right image. Get the image of growing old and having your grandchildren around you and being surrounded and being in church and having Christmases and Thanksgivings and birthday parties. Don't fill your mind with death. Because of the fall, man tends to be focused on death. It's a death. Well, most people live to be this old. Well, my grandparents lived to be this old. What are you thinking about? You're thinking about how long you probably have. Well, all my grandparents lived to be about 75. I suppose that's what I can expect. No. God said, besides that, he said, until you're full of life, until you're satisfied with life, until you're satisfied with your life, then you don't give up on it. Paul said, writing in Philippians, he said, whether it's best for me to stay and be with you or to go home to be with the Lord, I haven't decided yet. That seems to me he thought there was a choice. What image is he going to put inside of his mind? What is he going to think about? Is he going to think about all those times that he's been stoned and cast out of cities, or is he thinking about the people that need him? He's thinking about the people that need him. It's more expedient that he stay. Succumbing to a disease is giving yourself into what the doctors have said. As soon as you say, my cancer, my blood disease, my heart condition, then it's yours. It's yours. That's like I shared recently. I said, I was vacuuming the stairs and the Lord said, your words have been stout against me. He said, you keep saying it's hard for us to get pregnant and it takes a long time, but then you keep praying that and believing that you received this little boy that I promised you. You've got bitter water and sweet water coming out of the same fountain. That's not going to produce anything, right? We've got to get our words lined up. If the doctor says something to you, if a person says something to you, you find out what the Word of God says about it, you put that image in your head. You put that thought in your head. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says that we're to cast down imaginations and exalt themselves above the knowledge of God. If something is exalting itself above the knowledge of God in your life, cast it down. Don't play with it. It's not a toy. Cast it down. If the doctor says something contrary to what the Word of God says, cast down what the doctor says and exalt what the Word of God says. If your parents treated you bad and said you were ugly and you're never going to amount to anything, that's not what the Word of God says. Cast it down. God desires that we should prosper and be in health. So if you've been told you're always going to be poor all the days of your life, maybe you're just hoping for a little cabin on the outside of heaven. There's no little outhouse cabin on the outskirts of heaven. The streets are paved with gold. I think there's a song in that one somewhere, isn't there? See, you got to be careful even what kind of songs you sing. We had one gal shortly after we started here, and she wanted us to sing the song about how God was going to cast your mountains into the sea. I said, no. She said, but it's such a beautiful song, and God's casting. I said, but that's not what Scripture says. Scripture doesn't say if you'll believe God hard enough, he'll cast your mountains into the sea. He said, with your words, you will cast your mountains into the sea. So it's contrary to Scripture. You got to be careful. What image? Because now you're putting the image that God's going to do it all for you. He's not the government. Come on, that one took a little bit. It kind of slowly rubbed. Government is not God. If we're depending on government to take care of us, then we've got a problem. Government isn't God. As soon as we start depending on government to fix this and to do that, and come on, government is not God. The first responsibility, I'm going to Medlin, the first and primary responsibility of the government is to protect the people in the nation. It's not to make sure they have everything they need. Government is not mommy. And even if it was, after a certain age, government kicks you out of the house and makes you go, you know what I'm saying? Go grow up, get a job, be an adult, start adulting. Oh my God, she just said, it's a trap. We were talking about that this week on the phone. It's a trap! Oh my gosh. If somebody calls you and says you want to come over for dinner and then tells you 10 minutes later, oh, by the way, these people are coming. A couple days later, all these other people are coming. You're like, oh no, that's a trap. No excuses, we're just not coming. Thank you, goodbye. Listen, he gave us promises. He gave us a promise of a son. He showed Kathy a picture of what our son was going to look like. We had a promise that we could stand on. God's creating in us an image of what our life can be and what it should be. He's creating a picture of success for us. He did the same thing with Abraham. Didn't he? Remember he took Abraham out and he said, look at the stars. If you can count the stars that are in the heavens, so numerous will be your offspring. Come on, Abraham is 80. Right, Dad? 80. I guarantee you he's got no plans for more children. He doesn't even want to get married again. That's how far removed that idea is from him. Right? He promised his seed would be as numerous as the stars. When going into the wilderness and up into the promised land, Moses sent 12 spies into the promised land. Two of them came back with the image that God would help them succeed. The other 10 said, no, they're too great. They're too big. It's too much. We can't do it. They shrank back into a bad report, into a bad image. They looked at the natural circumstances and said, this is too much for me to handle. I can't imagine that. I can't imagine that God can. Come on. God had delivered them with the wealth of Egypt in their pockets, parted the Red Sea so they could walk through on dry ground. They watched all of the things that happened while they were in Egypt when God was giving signs to Pharaoh that he was the one true God and he should let his people go, right? They went through all that and said, no, it's too much for God to get us into this land. These people are like giants in our minds. They're like giants in our sight. This thing is too big. I can't possibly do it. Joshua and Caleb were the only two of their generation that went into the promised land. In fact, Joshua took over for Moses. Oh, so much. We have to have the image that we're going to succeed. God has given us. He said, in all things, you are victorious. All things are possible to him who believes. Get that image in your mind. Get rid of, it's such a big issue. It's such a big problem. I don't see how we could possibly overcome that. David was happy being a little shepherd, wasn't he? Right? He's happy out in the wilderness with the sheep, watching over the sheep. He gets anointed to be king. Does he become king right away? No, he's got to deal with Saul. Saul repeatedly attempted to kill David. David was anointed to be king. Did God just automatically make everything right? No. David had to fight for it. He had to resist the temptation to withdraw. He resisted temptation. He had an opportunity at one point to kill Saul. And he didn't. Because Saul had been anointed to be king. No one expected anything from David. Not his father, not his brothers. His father wasn't even going to bring him in. He was just going to leave him out with the sheep. That's how much his own father thought of him. There's no way that this boy could be a king. He's just a shepherd. His father had no expectation for him other than to just be a shepherd. But when God tells you something, you go with what God said. When Jesus was on the boat with his disciples had what image? Don't you care that we're going to die? We're going to drown. The boat is going down. And here you are just sleeping it off. Come on. Oh, I am so sorry. I can't believe I fell asleep through this. This is just, guys, forgive me. I'm sorry. What are we? Oh, ye of little faith. Be still. I mean, we're talking about a storm. These guys, these are fishermen. They know what kind of storm this is. They know what could happen to them. They've probably seen it happen. They have an image in their minds of destruction, of failure. Jesus wanted them to have an image of success. He said to them so many times, if you'll just believe in your heart and say with your mouth, you're going to have what you say. Stop focusing on what's wrong. Start focusing on what could be. Start focusing on the promise. Proverbs 4:23. I got to open this and get a drink. I know, it's adorable. I love baby talk. Don't ever tell babies to stop talking in church. I love baby talk. Proverbs 4:23 says, be careful what you think, because your thoughts run your life. That's the New American Standard, the New American Version. Be careful what you think, because your thoughts run your life. If you wake up and see yourself as the natural person that might have aches and pains, that might not have a good job, that might not have had the best upbringing, that might have this problem and that problem, instead of waking up and start praising God, I thank you, Lord, that I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above only and not beneath. I thank you, Lord, that you're working and manifesting healing in my body today. I thank you that I'm increasing at work. Bonuses and opportunities are coming my way. Sales are coming my way. Start imagining. You say, well, what if it doesn't happen? Well, what if it does? What if your words start changing your outcome? At least, at the very least, you'll have a better image of yourself. You'll have a better expectation for yourself. People who have a better expectation for themselves always do better. I guarantee it. Somebody who thinks they're going to fail at everything is not going to succeed because they have no expectation of success. They have no expectation that God is going to take care of them. They just think, well, when my time is up, the Lord's going to take me. And then I'll be in heaven in my little cabin on the outskirts of heaven. We can't have our thoughts or allow our thoughts to lead us into destruction. We can't allow our thoughts to lead us into fear. We can't allow our thoughts to lead us into destruction and to failure. If we can only, and we've done this with our kids for so many years. Every time they start to lose it, stop. You have a choice to make right now. How are you going to respond? How are you going to act? Do you want to have a tantrum? Do you know that they don't? Generally speaking, when you ask them, do you want to have a tantrum? No. Then why are you doing it? I don't know. Because that's what kids do. And then if nobody tells them they don't have to do that when they're little, then they grow up and they become adults that have tantrums because they didn't get their way. And who wants to be with them? No, nobody except other people like them. People are drawn to people who are confident. When you're confident, people are drawn to you. They like to be around you because you're positive. Because when bad things are happening to you and you just say, well, I put it in Jesus' hands. I'm believing for this. I'm believing that it's going to succeed and it's not going to fail. Who opens a business and expects it to fail? Didn't Jesus say, who goes to war without counting the cost? Didn't he say, who builds a house without figuring the cost? Start imagining what it's going to be like and imagine success or a chicken coop. Start imagining success for yourself. Start imagining yourself as God sees you. Start seeing yourself the way that God wants you to be. God loves you. He's a good father. He's a good father who owns the cattle and all the hills. Everything is his. He said to the prodigal son when the prodigal son came back, he said, we're going to have a big feast for you. The other son came out and said, this whole time I've been here and you never had a feast for me. His father said, you could have had one anytime you wanted. You could have done it anytime you wanted. But he never saw himself in that position. God wants to have a party with you. Zephaniah 3:17, God spins around wildly in anticipation at the very thought of you. Come on, that's a God who loves you. He's not out to get you. He's not out to get us. He's not out to stone us because we screwed up sometimes. He loves us. Imagine having favor when you go to work. People at work love me. People at work love me. You just say it. You might be having a hard time. Kathy had a gal at one of the offices she worked with. Man, this woman, I mean, she just, everything she did was it just almost seemed like it was intended to undermine Kathy. And she would backmouth her and backtalk her all the time. And Kathy just started praying for her. And every time she was around, she was really nice and happy and friendly to her. Do you know what? That woman actually became Kathy's friend. I mean, as much as, you know. But Kathy changed the actual surroundings with her attitude. She changed the other person's behavior towards her because of her attitude. If you just walk around and you never look anybody in the eye, then you're never going to have relationships because you're always going to feel like I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy of friends. God's just allowing this to happen. No, God is not allowing this to happen to you. It is just the sinful, fallen nature of man just to automatically assume that everybody is at odds against them. Can I tell you, your spouse is not your enemy. Your spouse is not your enemy. Yeah, you might fight like your enemy sometimes, but your spouse is not your enemy. I have to tell my wife myself that all the time. Kathy's not my enemy. Kathy's not my enemy. I do, because she says no to me. When I really want her to say yes, she says no. When I really want her to say no, she says yes. I'm like, when are we ever going to be on the same page on this? She says, well, do you want to go in debt? Well, no. Well, the answer is no. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes they know better. Sometimes they know better. Let's talk about modern day successes. Anybody watch this week the SpaceX rocket launch? This is a really amazing thing that happened. It's a private industry SpaceX, run by Elon Musk. Elon Musk has been so many times a failure. Yeah, he and his brother started a business, and the business did great as long as he wasn't the CEO. He just couldn't run it. They eventually sold it, made millions of dollars in the sale of this business. And then he decides he's going to start the Tesla Corporation, the electric car. Man, I mean, they can't get a car out on schedule, but people love the Tesla cars. And as long as he's not running, it's okay. Do you know what I'm saying? He's a failure, but he's a success because he keeps pushing. Now they've launched the SpaceX rocket. It's the first, I believe it's the first of its kind, that is privately owned as a rocket intended to go into outer space for exploration and go to the moon. It is the Mars. I'm sorry, Mars. This, I mean, the man has got some expectation. He's not thinking, well, I couldn't even be the CEO in my own company. What kind of a failure am I? Right? He's imagining himself as something greater. Not everybody likes the president. But do you know, as many billions of dollars as he has also filed bankruptcy at least 6 times. Has he let that stop him? No. His first time running for a political office, and he becomes the president of the United States. Why? He said way back in the 1980s on the Oprah Winfrey show, she said, wow, this sounds like a political thing. He said, well, I'll tell you what, if I ever did, I'd win. Why? Because in his mind, he's not a failure. We have really good friends that have filed bankruptcy twice. But they are not failures because they continue to push and they make all the tough calls. When it's time for both of them to work, they work. You have to make those tough calls. You have to. If you're going to be a success, you're going to have to push yourself and you're going to have to believe, and you have to believe even when it looks like nothing is possible, when nothing could possibly go your way, you have to believe. If the Word of God says that He wants me to prosper and be in health even as my soul prospers, then I will prosper and be in health. If He says cast down imaginations, if you're calling yourself a failure or someone else is calling yourself a failure, cast that word down and pick up the word, I'm victorious in all things. I'm an overcomer in all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Don't ever allow yourself to be what the world sees you, how the world has cast your lot, how the world has cast your life to be. God calls you beautiful. God calls you lovely. God calls you His child. God calls you successful. Believe Him. Side with Him. Agree with Him. He says, come, let us sit down together and talk about it. He wants you to. He wants you to come to Him and look at His word and say, okay, this is what your word says. I'm going to believe it. Dr. Caroline Leaf is a neuroscientist out of, I think it's New Zealand, if I'm correct. Is it New Zealand? I listened to her share a testimony. She had a patient who had suffered a severe brain trauma. And the doctors said that not only would she not graduate with her class, but she might not be able to graduate high school at all, that she would probably be severely retarded. A whole portion of her brain for processing information had been disrupted. And Dr. Caroline Leaf got a hold of her, and she started talking to her. Dr. Caroline Leaf is a born-again, spirit-filled, word-of-faith believer. And she got this girl to start confessing that the neurons, or whatever it is that the neurons that run through the brain that connect areas of thought in the brain, she got her confessing, I have the mind of Christ. She got her confessing, my mind is whole. She got her confessing those things. And by doing that, they did scans. The neurons actually rerouted around the portion of the brain that had been destroyed. And that doesn't happen. That doesn't happen. Rerouted She graduated not only with her class, but as valedictorian. Come on. Can God, if you believe God, if you trust him, if you start putting his word first, can anything happen for you? Anybody ever been healed from cancer? Come on. Anybody ever been healed from multiple sclerosis? Come on, you know that's not possible, right, Regina? My mom was healed from it. Listen, so many people, I've got a cousin in Indiana, and man, she just exalts the multiple sclerosis. She calls it hers all the time, and this is her prognosis. We have a really good friend who died as a result of complications from multiple sclerosis. That's the end result of multiple sclerosis. The end result of cancer is generally death. But God said, if you'll believe with him, if you'll put his word first, if you'll start having a mentality that puts him and exalt his word and exalts his opinion over you in your mind instead of what the world does, then you can go and you can do anything. Nothing shall be impossible. Remember at the Tower of Babel? God looked down and here's these guys and they're building this tower and he said, nothing will be impossible to them. Nothing will be impossible to them. So he divided their languages so they couldn't work together. That's what God said about them. They weren't even believers. Jesus hadn't come. It's the Tower of Babel. It's before Moses. He said, nothing will be impossible to them. Why? Because there's so much power in acknowledging that you can do anything you set your mind to. Anything can be accomplished. Anything can be done if you will believe it and act on it. Sarah never had conceived. Even when she was young, she couldn't conceive. God gave her a different image. Come on. Anything is possible. If we'll change the channel, stop dwelling on what somebody said about us, stop dwelling on some experience that happened in the past, and change the channel and put it on the channel where God says you're a success, where God says you're healed, where he says you're above only and not beneath, where he says you're the head and not the tail, if you'll start seeing yourself in that image, then nothing will be impossible for you. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you right now for your word. Oh, I thank you for your word. Because your word is life and power. We receive right now, Father, in Jesus' name, your word. Nothing is impossible to us. Romans 12:2 says, not to think like the world does, but to let your thoughts be changed to God's will. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, we just commit that we're gonna exchange those bad thoughts, those bad images, those negative ideas, in Jesus' name, and we're going to start picking up your thoughts for us. We're going to start picking up your plan for us. We're going to start picking up the things you want for us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now listen, I want you to go out this week. I want you to expect good things to happen to you. I always expect I get good parking spots. I get the best parking spots. Kathy always expects to get free stuff. She always gets free stuff. Go out and expect favor. The Word of God says that if you'll trust him and believe him, all these blessings will come chasing after you. Do you want the blessings to chase after you? You want the promises to chase after you? You've got to expect it. All right? You're dismissed. Have a great week.